Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Why, hello, everyone. It has been a while. I am back. It's another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. I hope all of you are doing well. I want to thank all of you who have reached out to me. I've been having some medical-related issues. Also, a bunch of nonsense happening in my personal life. It's been a disastrous 2025, undoubtedly one of the most difficult periods of my entire life, probably the most difficult, but I want to thank all of you who have reached out. I also have to say on here, I told them before we recorded, but everyone, if you can find someone in your life as loyal and dedicated as Andy Mattioli, who, if you find someone even a tenth who has just the loyalty, dedication, and love that this man has, you have to consider yourself lucky. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for him that he has done everything. He's done every single article, every single live stream, everything on Patreon, everything on YouTube for the last 3 months in my absence. And I am beyond grateful to him. And I just have to say it on here, even though I told him before we started this, I am just immensely lucky to have met him and to have him in my life. And I can't thank him enough. So, Andy,
same to you.
I'll just say it on here. Yes, thank you. No, I need you to know when I'm down and out like that, there's very few people I was able to rely on. And you were right at the top of the list. And it meant so much.
Of course, man. Of course.
So, naturally, I picked, I guess, a very intriguing 3 months to be gone. And I was glad that I was able to return right at the beginning of the summer when all the usual Roma festivities begin, which of course began with the appointment of a man who I have criticized nonstop on this podcast.
Let me remind you, not only did you criticize him a year ago, we were both making fun of him for wearing jeans to a Europa League final, which he won.
Yes.
Which he won.
Correct.
So let's just show the record that we laughed at our current manager, who basically, I mean, he's exposed us all the time. He's the reason why we failed to qualify for Champions League repeatedly. Even this year, John, when Roma were on an unbeaten streak, and that streak was broken by none other than Giampiero Gasperini. Yes. They faced Atalanta in Bergamo. That was the game that decided that Roma are not going to the Champions League, it's perfect that now he's the man sitting on our bench.
Well, I am hoping that the absolute disaster that has been my health and personal life for the previous 6 months, the first signs of potentially things maybe turning around even the slightest bit, is not only the appointment of Gasperini, you know, leaving a club in Atalanta that he has created a juggernaut. Let's just say it. For those, Andy, that are new to Serie A, even if you have been watching for a decade, the Atalanta you see now is not the one you and I have grown up with. Atalanta is a yo-yo club.
I remember Bobo Vieri when he was like 40 years old playing for Atalanta. That was quite embarrassing.
Yes, and they would crop up with the occasional good name or two. I mean, we can go through a host of names that Atalanta were shit, but they always purged Roma when it came time to face off against them. But this was a club that historically was not a winner. If you would have told me in 2011, Atalanta would be raising a Europa League trophy less than 15 years later, I would have said you were mad.
And John, as I said repeatedly on the live streams, I said, you know, I thought to myself, which Italian side has been the most consistent in the past decade? If you think about it, it's not Juve, it's not Inter, it's not Napoli, it's not Milan. All these teams have had very high highs and very low lows in the past decade. Atalanta have been the most consistent side for the last 9 years, and that's because Giampiero Gasperini has been in charge. Like, they may not have won a ton of trophies, but they've always achieved their objectives. Like, this is a team that with Gasperini has never disappointed. Like, they've always met the objectives that were set before the season started, which is exactly the opposite of Roma.
Yes. And I made the mistake of turning on Sky Sport when the news started first to emerge. And as per usual, it was very good analysis, saying, oh, what is he doing? Obviously, Atalanta, they're going to shepherd in a new era, as is Roma. By the way, I have to add to the previous point about potentially the tides turning, not only in my favor, but perhaps Roma and all of us as IS Roma supporters. They appointed Ivan Juric. Now, when it comes to being able to blackmail your way into a Serie A job on the bench, Eusebio Di Francesco is the gold standard because he somehow, after two relegations in a row, has been once again handed a lifeline with Lecce.
Yep.
Ivan Juric is not that far behind. This guy stunk at Roma. He went to Southampton and
almost got the worst record in Premier League history. Almost. That was the big achievement. He managed to avoid it. But you know the name, John, because you know the name of the game. It's Giuseppe Rizzo. Like, if you got a buddy in Giuseppe Rizzo, you got a job in Serie A. No questions asked.
It is it's very Italian. Like, you wouldn't see this sort of shit in the Premier League, you know? Like, I mean, we could go through the host of names that just get recycled. I mean, even to see, you know, Stefano Pioli, Fiorentina again. I mean, that guy, he was given a lifeline at Milan when they won that Scudetto. But to see Ivan Juric replace Gasperini at Atalanta, I could not. The level of fury, if I lived in Bergamo, which I...
Yeah, that's crazy.
We know that will not happen.
No, it will never happen.
No matter how bad
things get in our private lives, it's never going to happen that we go to Bergamo.
Yes. I mean, that would never happen. If I wanted to punish myself even further and I decided to move there, and I had to face the reality that I just replace Gasperini with Ivan Juric, a guy who lasted 3 months at Roma, 4 months at Southampton. I don't know what the club would be able to say to that would even remotely make sense to me and get me to a place where I can accept this decision.
And Daniele De Rossi is still without a team. Like, that's the thing. Yes. Daniele De Rossi is still on his 3-year contract with Roma. That's the thing that is making me crazy, because every single bench that was available in Serie A this season, and there were a lot of them, Pisa, Cremonese, Parma, Lecce, Fiorentina, Daniele De Rossi right now is still without a job. That's insane to me, especially if you consider that Gennaro Gattuso is now in charge of Italy. That really just makes the appointment of Giampiero Gasperini at Roma, I think, that much more important, because we could have gone astray on several occasions. Like, there were some names that were being dropped during your absence, John. Like, exactly, like Stefano Pioli at some point was said to be the favorite to lead Roma next season. So getting Giampiero Gasperini is like, and we're going to talk about it, because this is what we're seeing right now with the names that are, you know, with the exit of Florent Ghisolfi, with the arrival of Frederic Massara. We're seeing like a new regime taking place, like the regime of two old guys in Claudio Ranieri, who's 74, and Giampiero Gasperini, who's 67. He's considered younger than Ranieri. That's crazy to me that there's only 6 years of this. And then Massara coming back home, you know, and it shows that these two guys, Ranieri and Gasperini, right now, they are the ones calling the shots. Like, what the Friedkins have done since last year when they were giving so much power to someone like Linus Lukku is this year they're putting all their trust in Ranieri and Gasperini.
They have learned. I still have the contacts at the Friedkin Group that were there some years ago during the sale. And that was one of the things that was sort of imparted to me a couple of weeks ago at when I asked to them, you know, you keep doing these shifts where you have this sort of hierarchy and then you have that sort of hierarchy. Remember, you bring Gisolfi, and he's going to be the guy to do all of the transfer market. You're not going to see the sort of setup that you had with Baldissoni, Zanzi, Sabatini. You're just going to have sort of one senior manager figurehead, a transfer chief, so to speak, doing the market. They've really skinned their knees a little bit, in my opinion, which should be expected. I mean, this is still only 5 years that they have been in the world of football. They are going to make mistakes. I think the acquisition of Everton is actually going to benefit Roma immensely, not only from an on-the-pitch standpoint, because they're going to have more monies at their disposal, but I think from a managerial and a directorial standpoint, when you look at the business and the structure, the administration of the Premier League, and compare it to Serie A, it's day and night. It's Serie A compared to Serie D, if we want like a metaphor. It is so vastly the gap in the thinking and in the operations, the marketing. I mean, from on the pitch to off the pitch to the stadiums, it is such a different world at a level 25 times that of Serie A. So I think acquiring Everton has really opened their eyes a bit. When it comes to Gasperini, I have said on here several times that he is about as pleasant. I think the analogy I've always used is he is as pleasant as a kick to your balls.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're not too far from Fabio Capello territory. I think an evening with Gasperini and Capello is very similar, you know. And even Ranieri said it in the press conference, like he said, initially, I didn't like Gasperini either. Like, he didn't even hide the fact that this is not the most pleasant guy to be around. And what if we've learned something from Gasperini in the 9 years at Atalanta is that it's very hard to please him. Like, this is a guy, despite having in Atalanta a brilliant ownership with a brilliant scouting network, this guy would go and blast them. At every chance he could get, he would blast the work that was being done by the club. He would always say that it's not enough, it's not good enough. Even last year when they got Zaniolo, and he was like, "I don't even know what to do with him," you know. And that's that. So we know
and
that.
Then he
about
just shits
him.
On him throughout the season. Remember what always. He said? He goes, "We took a bet on Zaniolo and we lost it."
And it's not working. And I think, but that's why if you have a guy like him, you have to put all your trust in him. You cannot have some middleman who's going to argue back at him. You have to, everybody has to row in the same direction. And if the Friedkins have learned something over the past year, is that that whole thing with Linus Lukku messed the club
disaster.
Up.
Yes.
It was a disaster because you had Florent Gisolfi, who came in, theoretically was in charge of the sporting area, but was he? It was, after all, Linus Lukku who got the deal for Salamakers done, right? And then Lukku had disagreements with De Rossi. So who's responding to who? Who's in charge? When you have Gasperini and Ranieri at the helm, the answer to that question is pretty simple. It's those two old guys.
It is sort of, you know, when it comes to Roma, we always seem to look for the answer that, instead of just taking the simple answer, we always make it far more complicated than what it has to be. Andy, how long has Gasperini been linked to Roma? 3-5 years now? I mean, he has been linked to Roma.
He was supposed to come when Paulo Fonseca came. That was the earliest link.
Yes. And it always made sense from the standpoint of, listen, this guy, we always hear this word project and we always hear this bullshit about building things. Yeah. I mean, the word project, if you want to find a way to upset a supporter of AS Roma fast, mention the word project and building and add the adjective sustainable. That is, you have essentially pre-purchased your flight out of the club because people are going to go mad. But the fact of the matter is, as angry as those words made a lot of us, that's what Roma have been. And they have not had anything even remotely sustainable. They have not had anything even remotely consistent. If this is truly what they want to do, where you build sort of from the, at least from an on-the-pitch standpoint, you're going to build through a guy who is patient, successful, has done this before in a place far smaller than you, at a club with 1/20th of the financial resources as you, you cannot do much better than Gasperini. Again, I'm not asking the guy to, I'm not having an evening out with him. Not going to happen. I can't imagine the chat around the dinner table with him is going to be too exciting.
Oh my God.
Because I guarantee you, he is the guy. When the plate arrives in front of him, if it is just slightly too cold, he is complaining, and he is going to ask for some sort of discount on the meal.
Yeah, he's the guy that if the waiter asks him, "Is everything fine?" he's gonna say something. He's gonna say yes. Not everything is fine. In fact, nothing's fine. That's the kind of guy that Gasperini is. But you know what? I have to say that, as I said in the live stream, the fact that during his press conference, like this was, so on the morning that Florent Gisolfi's departure was made official, those two guys went up on the press conference, they spoke to the media, and it looked like they were having a blast. Nobody, yes. I thought it was going to be a disaster. He was going to be upset, Ranieri was going to be impatient, whatever. The media, even the media, they didn't ask much. Like, they just asked what happened, but it wasn't, you know, they weren't, like, really looking for answers. And even from the official statement that Roma made regarding Gisolfi, like, it's a very pleasant statement. They even say, good luck, Flo. You know, that they don't make that happen too many times. Like, usually their official statements are quite dry. So, If it really came down to these three guys, Gasperini, Ranieri, and Gisolfi, meeting up and saying, you know what, listen, we want to go in this direction. You'll probably want to go in this direction. Maybe it's beneficial for everyone to just understand that, you know, this is not a fit. We cannot force it. We've been forcing too many things, you know, like even Suluku. She arrived, and at the beginning, nobody had an idea of what she was going to do. At first, she was going to handle the stadium, but then slowly, she started gaining more power. Was everybody okay with that? And in order to avoid that from happening, you have to have like this clear line where everybody knows who is in charge of what. And Gasperini, we know what he stands for. Ranieri, we know what he stands for now in his role as senior advisor. And with Massara, finally, all Roma fans and all the local media have finally the guy that everybody was waiting for. No, everybody wanted an Italian, someone who's familiar with Serie A, someone who knows what Roma are all about. And he's worked with everyone's idol, Walter Sabatini. So, and that's, in my mind, like I think that's the first major sign that the Friedkins may have entered a new phase in their awareness and knowledge about how to run a football club, is that they took, by sacking, well, not sacking, but by parting ways with Gisolfi, they made an actual decision where they sort of came to the conclusion, you know what, we can't do things half-assedly. It didn't work in the past. We have to, if Ranieri and Gasperini feel this way, we have to follow their lead. We cannot just put our faith in someone like Gisolfi just because we believe him. If those two guys don't believe him, then where's the credibility, right? Where's the consistency? So despite everyone was taken by surprise by this decision, I think, listen, if this will make Grandpa Giampiero happy, then so be it.
For sure. The other thing, too, that you get with Gasperini, and this is something that has really plagued Roma, particularly last season, is day one, you are going to have a playing style. You are going to have an identity. You will have an identity in the playing style. You will have an identity in the formation. Giampiero Gasperini is the, you are not getting any surprises. He is just about as consistent as the sun rising in the morning. You are getting three at the back, balls to the wall pressing. Balls to the wall pressing. You watch how many of these guys in training, because for those of you who don't know, this guy's, his training sessions, renowned for the amount of running. You have a lot of players that, if you look during his time at Atalanta, you had a few players who wanted to leave the club and ultimately did leave because just the training sessions and in their words, they were mad. You were running so, so much. And it doesn't take a genius to know that. All it takes is watching 5 minutes of Atalanta. I mean, playing against them. Andy, is there a team that over the last 5 to 7 years has been a bigger thorn in Roma's side?
No. They kicked our ass time and time again. Even when we seem to get the best of them, it's always such a pain in the ass. And and as you say, like what stands out about Gasperini, and I said it when they appointed him, is that along with Antonio Conte, he is the most consistent manager in Serie A in terms of his ideas and in terms of having his teams interpret those ideas. Like, if you look at how Antonio Conte and Gasperini have run their teams, they've done it the most consistently. Even someone like Massimiliano Allegri, who's a walking meme by now, Juve were lost with him for a long time.
Yes.
No, you can't say that about Antonio Conte teams such as Inter and now Napoli and Gasperini's Atalanta. Those are two managers that have achieved incredible results in Serie A in the last decade, and they've done it because they stuck to their guns. And their ideas were embraced by their teams. And that's correct. What, like, when you hire Gasperini, you know what you're getting. Like, that's the thing. You're not going to be speculating, oh my God, is he going to do this? Is he going to... No. You know, 3-4-3, wingbacks who are pushing like crazy, who are scoring like crazy, and a team that is aggressive for 90 minutes straight. And if they're not, that's considered a disastrous moment for the team.
Yes. I mean, it's blasphemous in the eyes of Gasperini. Again, he doesn't... I mean, he pulls no punches. I mean, again, he purged Nicolò Zaniolo just within the first few weeks of him having arrived in Bergamo. And then after just a few months, he shipped his ass out to Firenze. He couldn't get rid of him fast enough. And that is what you're going to get with this guy, where it is, to use a line from Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glenn Ross, it is fuck or walk. That is what you are going to get.
Hit the bricks, pal. Hit the bricks, pal.
Hit the bricks, pal. You're a nice father. I don't give a shit. Go home and play with your kids. He is not going to spare any of these players. If you are not performing, your ass is out. And the thing I like about him, too, is he has balls when it comes to his formations. He has balls when it comes to going with a player he has good feelings of, even if the decision may be questionable at the time. I mean, Juan Musso, I mean, the guy was fantastic for Atalanta. He gave him one season, two seasons, and then he said, nope, see ya, bye. The guy has balls. That's what we need at Roma. Now, whether or not the players are willing to embrace and accept that remains to be seen. I don't know how you couldn't when that guy walks in from day one. The track record he has, the Europa League. I mean, what he's done with Atalanta is fantastic. And all the more reason why I'm so excited to see Ivan Juric tear it all down. I am curious to see who, if any, of the players of, you know, the younger ones, I don't think you're going to get much of a fuss out of, but who is going to be that name? Because if just to go back to his press conference, Andy, I mean, he didn't really go too deep on the roster. He said, okay, well, yeah, we're not going to have a revolution of the roster. I believe he talked about Paulo Dybala. He also mentioned Lorenzo Pellegrini.
Yeah. He said, you know, that the primary idea is, yeah, you have to work hard, but you also have to have fun. Like for him, like if a player is depressed like Pellegrini, of course he's not going to play well. Like he recognized that you can't just squeeze the players until they bleed. You have to let them
right
feel like they're getting better. Like he said, you know, you have to, the team feels when individuals improve. So, and that's his big thing, because as I mentioned a number of times, like John, Davide Zappacosta made the cut for the national team this year. Davide Zappacosta, who was all but dead, like his career was dead. Like this is a guy who tore his ACL at Roma. His time at Chelsea was completely forgettable. The last decent season in Serie A was with Torino in 2017. With Gasperini, somehow he's been one of the top fullbacks in Serie A, and he got a spot in the national team, which is crazy at his age. But that's how it goes. So, and that starts Gasperini. We've seen it so many times happen. Like, of course, listen, it's not like Gasperini has worked with scrubs, you know. Like what I'm saying is that
correct.
When he signed guys like Coop Miners or Derun or Ederson from Salernitana, these are not scrubs. These are just good talents that Atalanta were able to get to before anyone else. But what Gasperini has done with those guys is that I can guarantee you, John, Martin Derun, the second he walks out of Atalanta, and God knows how much I hate that guy, the second he walks out of Atalanta, he's not one of the best midfielders in the league anymore, you know? Like,
Roma.
That's been Gasperini's specialty. And what have Roma missed all these years is that while some individuals excelled, a lot of others were shit. Whereas with Gasperini, one of the things is that when his team is rolling, like doesn't matter who's on the pitch, they're all on fire.
Yeah, and the thing too with him, and maybe this was just the thing against Roma, and it was all the more noticeable, but man, is he able to squeeze every bit of, even the slightest bit of talent. You could be the most shit player, but if you have just the tiniest amount of talent within you, that guy is able to get it out. I remember the guy, was his name Cornelius? Who played for Atalanta?
Cornelius. Crazy. That like 2 meters tall. Yeah. I know.
The goal he had, and it hasn't done a thing since.
And also, you know, like someone like Raul Bellanova. Look at Raul Bellanova's evolution, you know.
Yes.
Cagliari, then Inter, complete fraud. Then Torino, slightly better, but I think obviously Torino, as always, they pump their players up in terms of the fees that they ask for them. Then goes to Atalanta. The man has 9 assists this season. Try to find the fullback at Roma that has 9 assists in the last 4 years. You will not find.
Well, it isn't your boy Zaleski, yeah? I mean, how many did he get it into? Yeah, I mean, how many did he manage to pull off? Did he get?
I think two. He got one or two, but he got a one goal. Anyway, he's almost gone, John. So we don't have to worry about him.
I know you're mourning above all.
She should be gone.
Nothing I love more. He's got the Florenzi syndrome, yeah. And nothing I love more than a fullback who can't deliver crosses or score goals. You know, it's.
I think he's now past the Florenzi territory because he's as bad as Florenzi was at the age of 28 and. Zaleski, I think, is like 22 or something. So, and he's already there. He's in Florenzi territory. So he's accelerated that growth for the worse.
He really has. Now, I think one thing that is worth mentioning, obviously,
your boy Massara.
Well, yeah, I have to give the same disclaimer as I do with any other time I'm close to an agent. I just have to give the usual disclaimer. I know Ricky Massara. I like Ricky Masada. I have known
everybody him for a long loves time. Ricky Masada. Like that's the
he
thing.
He's a very pleasant yeah. man. So if you know, if he makes a decision during the summer transfer market that
yeah.
many of you don't agree with or you think is shit, the odds of me coming on here ripping the guy apart and being you know, very animated, perhaps a tad disrespectful, are low to none. I like him. I have a personal relationship with him. I like him. So you're not going to see me rail on him. Of course, I'm not. If he makes a mistake, I'm going to address it and give my opinion on it. But I'm not going to come on here and go mad as I've done with a host of other players and directors, like or Baldissoni or something like that. So,
well, but that's the thing, isn't it? I think now I expect local media, like everybody that was piling up on Florent Ghisolfi not speaking Italian. Now I expect like luxury treatment for Masada. I don't want to see any more. Like this is a choice that is probably the one that pleases Italian journalists the most, because Masada is on really good terms with just about anybody.
Yes.
And he's like homegrown. Everybody knows him. So there's not going to be any more of those weird speculations that used to be made about Thiago Pinto or Ghisolfi. Every single thing they did was speculated upon and scrutinized. And oh my God, I hope that with Masada, we are buying ourselves a bit more time to be in the favorable spotlight of Italian media.
Absolutely. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that Ricky Masada does not say a fucking word to anybody. He doesn't say a thing. Can any of you, just right now, in this exact moment, just close your eyes? Can you picture what his voice sounds like? I'm sure very few of you actually can. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. When you message him on WhatsApp, a guy could be married, somebody could have died. You are getting the most bland response ever. I mean, the guy is as interesting as paint on your wall. Very steady, very boring, not flashy. I say this every time his name comes up, though. I have an immense amount of respect for him because he was the protege of Walter Sabatini, and the knowledge and the relationships he has fostered with some of the most important agents, not only in Italy, but South America too, I think is grossly overlooked by many when it comes to evaluating him. And I think he's going to be a huge, huge asset. I mean, we have gone through how many transfer market chiefs now in just a few seasons? You had Pinto. He was here for a hot minute. We've had Monchi, Masada. He had that interim stint. Obviously, Ghisolfi for 1 year. That's one department.
Don't forget your friend, Guido Fienga. Running the whole show himself with the help of
is he still in Saudi Arabia? I have
yeah,
not
yeah, Googled he's it. Still yeah, yeah, he's still.
Oh, good for him. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And Baldissoni is coming back. He's coming back to Monza. He's going to work at Monza.
Yeah, of course. After being relegated, there's probably a metaphor in there. I just don't know where it is exactly. But listen, with Masada, you are going to get, and you're not going to get much flash. You are not going to get a guy giving you the animated interview. Like we even saw with Ghisolfi before some matches, he would get fairly animated. He would say, oh my gosh, we gotta do this. We gotta do that. We gotta win. You're not going to see that with Masada. I mean, Milan, you know, last two match days, they're about to win the Scudetto. The guy looks as excited, you know, as if he were standing in line to mail a letter at the post or something.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling how the guy is able to stay so steady and calm. I actually envy that of him because, man, he were a good bad. That guy doesn't – like a poker player. I mean, the guy could be playing in Monaco professionally. True. So
maybe he is.
At this point, maybe. So that's one of the reasons why I like him. Very unlike his protege – or I should say his mentor, Walter Sabatini, who would give – not only the most animated responses, but some of these interviews, I say it every time on here.
Navel gazing. I would say navel gazing.
Yeah, I Florenzi is stronger than Dani Alves. I mean, fantastic stuff. You can't make it up. That is one thing that you're not going to get with Masada. And beyond that, beyond this, the personality traits, and you know exactly what kind of football Giampiero Gasperini plays. You know his preferred tactical setup.
Yeah.
You know exactly the kind of players he needs. There's no mystery with any single role on this team. from goalkeeper to the defense to the wingbacks to the midfield to the attack. Everybody knows what is going to be expected of you, what you need. And there is a very big benefit to that, because what did we see last season? We saw Daniele De Rossi completely change from the tactical setup as the previous season. Doesn't work out. We see Ivan Juric come in, toss everything into the bin. Then we see Claudio Ranieri come. He changed a few things. This is one of those times, and I know we said it last season or last summer, and we clearly cursed ourselves with saying, oh my gosh, you have a full summer now. This is great. You actually have it this time, though, but you have it with a manager, and this is the big difference. Gasperini has every single bit of his footballing ideas in place, and they are not changing for anybody.
Yeah. You can't question it. You can't doubt it. It's all there. It's all on display. And everybody knows it. Like, there is a track record. Like, you don't, you know, like when Fonseca came in, everybody, oh, how is he going to set up? How did he play in Ukraine? How did Shakhtar Donetsk play? What players? No. Here you have 9 years of evidence of Gasperini having his vision. And that's why I say that it's so important for him to come in at this moment in time, because just his name alone means something. Just like Mourinho in terms of personality meant something when you hired him. And it was like this statement appointment made by the Friedkins, as in, here you go, this big flashy name. You know this guy. You know him. The same goes for Gasperini. You know what he's about. You know what he wants. And you know what he has to offer on the pitch when his team is really performing up to his standards.
Well, and that is sort of a good lead into the last segment here, the transfer market. Paredes, if you want to talk of a player that if you could not find a midfielder more antithetical to the footballing ideas of Giampiero Gasperini. If you are looking for an engine in the midfield along the line, Paredes is not Ederson. No. So this is an extremely obvious decision. By the way, one that was going to happen. Paredes, he was giving interviews starting in December about going back to Boca Juniors. So
renewed that contract. He renewed the contract only so that Roma could put that release clause and earn a little bit of money. And I mean, it was just like a gentleman's agreement.
Exactly. So there is no surprise that he's going to be on the way out. We can talk about names as to who would be coming, because of course, with Gasperini, you're going to get just a bevy of players. And of course, the ones who are most being talked about, though, are not the incoming, but the outgoing. There are a few names that I think a lot of people have been saying as to who wouldn't be a good fit. But beyond Paredes, is there anyone for you that jumps off the page you're thinking, oh, no, as far as fit goes, this might not be good? Everybody says Sule, but I don't agree with that, actually.
No, I watched Sule in the final stretch of the season. Sule was a difference maker. Like, he completely changed overnight into a player that was basically leading us in every single game. There was, he ended the season on such a good note where he really just imposed him. He imposed himself, and he also started playing the way Ranieri had asked him. Like, he embraced the challenge. You know, while, for example, someone like Tommaso Baldanzi was reduced to playing the last 5 to 10 minutes, and Salemakers also stopped playing, Sule became more and more prominent and more crucial to the whole maneuver of the team. So I think Sule is also the kind of player who will learn no matter what, no matter what you say. I do think that I'm looking at it also from a purely financial point of view, because we know by June 30th, we have to generate an X amount of revenue in order to adhere to financial fair play standards. Ranieri said that we have to comply, that it's going to be tough. And so we have to make a sale. Now, the obvious sale has been Angelino to Al Hilal. It's something that we were very close to getting done before the Club World Cup. Al Hilal were not sure of Angelino. They preferred Theo Hernandez. That caused them to put the talks on hold. Now it looks like you're about to miss out on 25 million euros for Angelino.
Yes.
That would have been a very, very precious for Roma. But aside from that, really, I think there are no, like, we know that Eldor Shomurov will be probably on his way out. But I think, contrary to what a lot of people say, that Dovbik is not good enough for Angelino. I also think Dovbik has so much still to give. Like, it's clear as day, you know, he finished this season with ups and downs, sure, but who didn't, you know, who didn't have ups and downs? And he still gave you 17 goals. If Gasperini wants another striker, more agile, more mobile, sure, that makes sense. Then you have two strikers, but Dovbik has to stay. Like, I don't see Dovbik being a problem at all.
No.
And so, you know, I mean, for example, I do think that the Lorenzo Pellegrini situation is an awkward one. He's out injured,
yes.
Will probably be out injured until the start of next season. So that puts him in an awkward position because we know he has 1 year left on his contract. His agent was pushing very much for him to leave this summer. And mm-hmm. now it's likely not going to happen. Now, when he comes back, is he going to come back fit? Is he going to come back fit and ready to also play the kind of tempo and the kind of style that Gasperini wants? Because the Pellegrini of the last year and a half is someone who is so slow at the turn and so just disorganized. And when you're playing Gasperini's midfield, just in his team, in his starting 11, everything you do has a purpose and a consequence. And you have to be 150% aware of it.
Yes, it's the Pellegrini situation is awkward. We've said it for years. The Mezzala thing with him, it just doesn't work. That's not his position. It will be interesting to see what they do. But, you know, given his wage, is anybody going to complain if he were to leave? I find that hard to believe. So obviously we will have to wait and see how things play out over the coming weeks. Of course, we will be here. We'll be going back to the regular podcast. I'm back. Again, thank you to everybody for not only your kind words, but for remaining patient.
Yeah, so patient. Like, people really, I just want to thank the patrons and everybody that kept following us, because I knew that a lot of people found it strange that we did not roll out the podcast anymore. The podcast was on hold. A lot of people didn't really know about the live stream, so they had to get on that. But everybody stuck by us, and that really speaks a lot about the community that we were able to create over the years. So we thank you all for the patience and the support.
Absolutely. All right. We will be back in a few days. The summer is here. Transfer market time. Here we go. Until next time, everyone. I'm going to change it up. A presto.
A presto.